There was a ragged, subdued cheer and a few amens. Petritchik thought they were more cowed than convinced. Jaeger took a breath.
Right then, now that everyone is here, Lutka! Jacob!
With a great deal of profanity and one or two swipes of his staff, he started his flock moving.
Children of Israel, he muttered.
Dietrich clapped him on the shoulder. Those were also a fractious lot, I have read. As the others filed past, Joachim came to Dietrich and embraced him. Farewell, Dietrich told him. Remember, listen to Gerlach. The hunter at the wooden bridge cried out,
Heaven, ass, and Wilkenbrake!
Joachim smiled wanly. To the peril of my soul. The others had gone back to the village, and the two were alone. Joachim looked back toward the village, and a shadow seemed to pass across his features as he took in the mill and the oven, the mason's yard, the smithy, Burg Hochwald, St. Catherine's Church. Then he brushed at his cheek and said, I must hurry after, and shifted the blanket bundle he wore around his shoulder, or I'll be left, and... Dietrich reached out and pulled the monk's cowl up over his head. The day is hot. The sun can strike you down.
Yeah. Thank you, Dietrich. Try not to think so much.
Dietrich placed his palm on the other's cheek. I love you too, Joachim. Take care. He stood on the green watching the monk depart. Then he moved to the bridge to catch a final glimpse before they vanished between the shoulders of the autumn fields and the meadow. They bunched up there, naturally, where the way was narrow, and Dietrich smiled, imagining Gerlach's profanity. When there was nothing more to be seen, he returned to the hospital. He moved Hans that night out into the open so that the Krenk could gaze on the firmament. The evening was warm and moist, having the characteristics of air being moved to that state from the corruption of fire, for the day had been hot and dry. Dietrich had brought his breviary and a candle to read by, and he was adjusting his spectacles when he realized that he did not know the day. He tried to count from the last feast of which he was certain, but the days were a blur, and his sleeping and waking had not always matched the circle of the heavens. He checked the positions of the stars, but he had not noted the sunset, nor had he an astrolabe.
What seek you, friend Dietrich? Hans said.
The day.
Wah! You seek the day at night. Wah, wah!
Friend Grasshopper, I think you have discovered Synecdoche.
The motions of the heavens could tell me, had I the skill at reading them, but I have not read the Almagest since many years, or Ibn Qura. I recall that the crystalline spheres impart a daily motion to the firmament which is beyond the seventh heaven.
Saturn, I think you called it.
Duh, beyond Saturn, the firmament of stars, and beyond that the waters above the heavens, though in a form crystallized to ice.
We too find a belt of ice bodies girdling each world system, though, of course, they turn on the hither side of the firmament, not the farther.
So you have said, though I understand not, what then keeps the ice water from seeking its natural place here in the center?
Worm. Hans replied, have I not told you that your image is wrong? The sun sits in the center, not the earth.
Dietrich held his forefinger in post. Did you not tell me that the firmament... What did you call it?
The horizon of the world.
Yeah, Doc. You say its warmth is the remnant of the wondrous day of creation, and beyond it no one can see. Yet this horizon lies in every direction at the same distance, which any student of Euclid can tell you is the locus of a sphere. Therefore the earth lies truly at the center of the world. Quote erat demonstrandum. Dietrich smiled broadly at having determined successfully the question. But Hans stiffened and emitted an extended hiss. His arms flew up and across his body, presenting the serrated edges. A protective gesture, Dietrich thought. After a moment, the Krenkel's arm slowly relaxed. And Hans whispered,
sometimes the dull ache sharpens like a knife.
And I conduct a quadlibet while you suffer. Are there no more of your particular medicines?
No. Ulf needed it far more.
Hans pawed with his left hand, seeking Dietrich.
Move. Twitch. I can barely see you. No, I would rather discourse on great questions. Unlikely that either you or I have the answers, but it distracts a little from the pain.
Dawn was crawling up the Override Road. Dietrich rose. Perhaps some willow bark tea, then. It eases head pain among us and may serve you also.
Or kill me. Or it may contain the missing protein. Willow bark tea. Was it among those things Arnold or the Kratzer tried? Wait, the Heinzelmunken may have it in its memory.
Hans chittered into his microphone, listened, then sighed.
Arnold tested it. It makes naught.
Still, if it dulls the pain.
Gregor?
He called to the mason, who sat by his eldest son on the other side of the smithy. Have we any willow bark prepared?
Gregor shook his head. Theresia was stripping bark 2 days ago. Shall I fetch it?
Dietrich dusted his robes.
I will.
To Hans he added, rest well. I'll be back with the potion.
When I am dead, the Krinkle replied, and Gottfried and Bjarke drink of me in my memory. Each will give his share to the other out of charity, and thus will the quantity double in size from being traded back and forth. Wah, wah, wah.
The jest escaped Dietrich, and he supposed his friend had developed a flaw in his weave. He crossed the road, waving to Sapka at work in his father's stone yard, carving tombstones. Dietrich had told the masons not to worry at the task, but
Gregor had said, what is the point of living if folk forget you when you're dead?
Dietrich knocked on Theresia's door jamb and received no answer. Are you awake? He called. Have you any willow bark prepared? He knocked again and wondered if Theresia had gone to the lesser wood, but he pulled the string on the latch and opened the door. Theresia stood barefoot in the middle of the dirt floor, wearing only her nightgown, but crumpling and wringing a cover slut in her hands. When she saw Dietrich, she cried out,
What do you want? No!
I came to ask after willow bark. Excuse my intrusion. He backed away.
What have you done to them?
Dietrich stopped. Did she mean those who had left? Those who had died in the hospital?
Don't hurt me!
Her face had turned red with anger, her jaw clenched tight.
I would never hurt you, Schatzel, you know that. You were with them. I saw you.
Dietrich had just begun to parse her sentence when she opened her mouth once more, only this time, rather than cries of fright, there issued forth a fountain of black vomit. He was close enough that some of it spattered him, and the rank of it quickly filled the room. Dietrich gagged.
No, God, he cried, I forbid this.
But God was not listening, and Dietrich wondered madly if he, too, had fallen to the pest, and his vast incorporeal essence, infinitely extended without extent or dimension, was rotting even now in the endless void of the Empyrean sphere beyond the crystalline heavens. The fear and rage had fled from Theresia's countenance, and she looked down at herself with astonishment.
Daddy? What's wrong, Daddy?
Dietrich opened his arms to her, and she staggered into them. Here, he said, you must lie down. He reached into his scrip and pulled out his cloth pocket of flowers and held it to his nose, but the essence had faded, or else the stink was too great. He guided her to the bed and thought, as she leaned upon him, that she had become already as light as a spirit. As it is the nature of earth to seek the center of the earth, so it is the nature of air to seek the heaven. Gregor had come to the door of the cottage.
I heard you cry.
Ah! Herr God in heaven!
Theresia turned to go to him.
Come, dear husband.
But Dietrich held her firmly. You must lie down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so tired. Tell me a story, Daddy. Tell me about the giant and the dwarf.
Gregor, bring my lance. Wash it with old wine and hold it in the fire as Ulf showed us. Then hurry. Gregor leaned against the jamb and ran a hand over his face. He looked up.
The lance. Ja, look. So soon as possible.
He hesitated.
Will she?
I don't know. Gregor laughed, and Dietrich made Theresia lie down upon the straw. He arranged a blanket under her head as a pillow.
I must check for the pustules, he told her. Am I sick?
We'll see.